This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, February 14, 2018. Ash Wednesday, by Deacon David Hodel.
We entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As many of you know, I used to be a Presbyterian. And in my Presbyterian and Calvinist days, there was a mnemonic device, an acronym that we used in order to describe our theology. It was called TULIP. Some of you may have heard that before. I don't see very many nods. That's good for you. Okay, there's a nod. Okay, excellent. Some former Calvinist out there. And I honestly, I'm not going to bore you with a recitation of what all of that nonsense was. But part of it, the I in TULIP was irresistible grace. Now, get this. This is the notion that even I once held. And that is that once God has predetermined that he's going to save you, that there's nothing you can do about it. You will be saved despite your own worst efforts. And that's that. Nothing you can do to resist the irresistible grace. And I'm not really sure how we dealt with this particular passage that we just read, where it says that you're not supposed to accept the grace of God in vain. Another translation says, don't resist the grace of God. But it seems that, at least for the Apostle Paul, and for even for our Lord Jesus Christ, it is actually quite possible for you to resist the grace of God. And in fact, if it's not possible for you to resist the grace of God, well, then all saved people are just a bunch of robots, because you have destroyed free will. And any kind of merit that you would have gotten, even from just believing of your own accord, of your own right. And in fact, the entire universe is just a giant lie and some sort of a sick joke if you don't have free will. You must have free will. And in fact, our Lord Jesus Christ, outside of Jerusalem, when he weeps for Jerusalem, says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I long to gather you as a hen gathered chicks under her wings, but you will not. Was that just stage acting? Or did he actually mean that? Is it just some great lie? It's not possible for it to be a lie. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? No. God doesn't lie. And nor does our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact of the matter is that you can, in fact, receive the grace of God in vain. You can receive the grace of God and resist it. That in fact it is possible to be baptized and to still end up in hell. That's the sad reality of it. How does this apply to Lent? Just think about this for a second. How does it apply to you? How can we apply this to our lives, my life and your life and everyone's life in this? You walk into your home after, I don't know, whatever, a day at work or a day at the church or a day at the beach, whatever. And something in the back of your mind, or maybe in the front of your mind, says, you know, I really need to pray. I need to pray my rosary. Okay? But you get distracted for some reason. Maybe it's a fair reason, maybe it's not. And you don't do it. You have resisted the grace of God. For see, every good intention that you have, every every good desire, everything that you should do, that you know you should do, but don't do, is you individually acting against the grace of God, because it is God who moves you to that good thing. And likewise in the evil things. Every time, you know, you should avoid some temptation, some near occasion of sin, and you don't do it, you have resisted the grace of God. Now let's be honest. There's thousands of these in your life all the time. I don't need to stand up here and give you a lesson about what you need to do. I mean, if I do, that's fine, and you can seek out some spiritual direction as to, you know, how to live the Christian life. Really? I mean, I don't think there's really that many uneducated people in this room. Okay? Not this room. Not tonight. I doubt it. I doubt seriously if you don't know that you should pray continually. If you don't know that you should be much into the Scriptures or some other good spiritual something. That you should avoid the near occasion of sin. And that you know what they are because you've sinned that sin before. We're all repeat offenders. We know what it is. We know what we need to avoid. We know what we need to do. Let me encourage you in this rule of life for the next 40 days. Every single moment that you realize that there's some good that you should do or some evil that you should avoid, I want you to do it. I don't want you to resist the grace of God at one single turn for 40 days. At all. You say, well, I'd be praying all the time. Well, okay. That doesn't offend me. Every single good thing and every single bad thing, every single moment, for 40 days. I'm not asking for the rest of your life. I'm just asking for 40 days. Because the truth of the matter is, the grace of God can be resisted.